just stand to your feet with me today in honor of God's word. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful week we have had. Amen. In revival this week. Amen. With Brother Doug and Sister Ashley. Amen. And, you know, the last night of the revival, he began to touch on my topic for this week. And for a moment, Brother Jason, I thought in my mind, I thought, man, I'm going to have to change my sermon for next week. But, you know, the longer time went by, the Lord just began to show me that he wanted me to stay right there. Amen. So I want to preach a little bit about fire today. Amen. How many know we could preach 10 weeks straight on fire and never have touched it all? Amen. So if you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to join me in the book of 2 Kings, the first chapter, 2 Kings 1. I'm going to read very quickly in your hearing, verse 1 through 17. Amen. You can shout yes when you get there. 2 Kings 1, we're going to read 1 through 17. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, we want you to see us. We'll make sure you have one before you leave this place today. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am thoroughly enjoying the presence of the Lord in his house today. And I don't believe God is done yet. Amen. So if you'll just give me a few more moments of your time, we're going to dig into the word of the Lord. 2 Kings 1 and 1, the word of the Lord says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of King Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria. And he was sick. And he sent messengers. And he said unto the messengers, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to the prophet Elijah, the Tishbite, the Lord told Elijah, he said, arise and go out and meet these messengers of the king of Samaria. And I want you to say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you would go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? The king is wondering why his messengers have come back unto him. And the messenger said unto King Ahaziah, he said unto him, there came a man up to meet us when we were in the way, and he said unto us, go turn around and go back to your king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was this which came up to meet thee and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man. He was girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And the king said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, there sat Elijah on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, Elijah, thou man of God, the king said, thou shalt come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. There came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, also the king sent unto Elijah another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and he said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And the king sent again a captain of a third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up to Elijah. And he came up and he fell on his knees before Elijah. And he besought him. And he said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and let the life of these 50 men, thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and he went down with him unto the king Ahaziah. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off of that bed that thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. So he died. The king died according to the word of the Lord that the prophet Elijah had spoken. Three times the king sent to Elijah to try and to get him to change what thus saith the Lord. But can I tell you today, the word of God and the words that come out of God's mouth, Sister Lucinda, are forever settled in heaven. Forever settled in heaven. I want to preach to a revival church today. Y'all ain't done with revival yet, are you? We ain't a dead church yet, are we? We ain't going back on where God has brought us from yet, have we? I want to preach to a revival church for just a few moments on this topic. Fighting fire with fire. I want you to clap your hands in a hand clap of appreciation unto the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. Come on, his sustainability, all that he does for you every single day of your life. Every good thing in your life comes from God. Would you give him praise for just a few moments all over this house today? Hallelujah. Fighting fire with fire. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Fighting fire with fire. Amen. In the Bible, fire is a powerful symbol. It is a powerful symbol with both positive and negative connotations. It is used in some good ways, and it is used to destroy some stuff. I mean, it has both a positive and negative connotations. It can represent the powerful presence of God, amen, as it did when the Lord used a pillar of fire by night to lead the children of Israel when they took a leap of faith and decided to follow Moses out of Egypt. The Lord sent a cloud by day to lead them, and when they would see that cloud begin to move, they would quickly pack up everything and follow after that cloud. But then there was a pillar of fire by night, Brother Chris, and when the children of Israel would see that pillar of fire begin to move, they knew they had to pack up everything quickly and begin to follow after that fire. How many know we got to follow the fire today? How many know we need to be where the fire is at today? I don't want to be in a dead church. I don't want to be in a status quo church. I don't want to be in a church where God ain't moving and people ain't getting baptized and people ain't getting filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want to be a church that has the fire of God in it today. We got to be where the fire is at. Amen. It was a powerful symbol in the Word of God. It can represent the powerful presence of God. It can represent, amen, the purifying process that God uses, as it did, amen, when Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, that every man's work is going to be tried by fire. How many know fire is going to try you? Huh? The Holy Ghost is going to try you. God's purifying process is going to try you. Amen. And every man's work is going to be tried by fire. Or fire can represent God's authority and God's judgment, as it did when King Ahaziah sent messengers unto the prophet Elijah, and he called down fire from heaven and consumed 3 bands of 50. Amen. Every time that they come attempting him to get to change what thus saith the Lord. How many know you don't play around with what God's doing? Come on, I got 5 amens on that. I'll preach till I get 10. How many know you don't play around with what God is trying to do today? Amen. You don't change what thus saith the Lord today. Amen. How many know we serve a jealous God today? We serve a God that won't give his glory to another today. But he wants all the glory. He wants all the praise. He wants all of the recognition. Amen. We want to be where the fire is at today. Fire can represent the purifying process. It can represent God's authority and God's judgment. Amen. As it did when Elijah called it down from heaven and consumed 3 bands of 50, because our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a jealous God today. But there are 2 types of fire that I want you to pay attention to today. 2 types of fire, amen, that I want you to be very cognitive of today and very, very aware of today. And that is hell fire for the sinner and Holy Ghost fire for the believer. And I come to tell you, when it comes to hellfire for the sinner, a wet blanket ain't gonna do you no good. But the Holy Ghost fire will do you a whole lot of good. Amen. And the 2 fires that I want to bring to your attention today are hellfire for the sinner and Holy Ghost fire for the believer. Amen. You've heard that old saying, fighting fire with fire. Amen. That's what God does. God fights fire with fire. Amen. You know, we use the term so loosely. We say, when we're watching college tournament basketball, amen, and some guy comes down to court and he hits 3 buckets in a row, Brother Doug, we say, he's on fire. Or when the quarterback in the playoffs connects with the receiver 3 times in a row, we say, he's on fire. Or when the golfer wins 3 tournaments in a row, we say, oh, my Lord, he's on fire. But can I tell you, that ain't the kind of fire you need to be concerned with today. The kind of fire you need to be concerned with is a fire that burns. It's unquenchable, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a fire that ends not. It's a fire you don't want to go to today. And the only way you're going to fight that fire is with Holy Ghost fire today. Because that's how God fights the fires of hell, with Holy Ghost fire today. God uses fire to fight fire. God uses the one fire to fight the other fire. Look, when we have a fire in the physical, Brother Eric, we put it out with a fire extinguisher, a fire suppressant, or a wet blanket, or whatever it is we got to throw on top of that thing. We will do our best to get that thing, put it out, and throw it out, throw it over on the fire. But in the spiritual, that's not how God does it. Can you say amen? In the spiritual, that's not how we fight sin today. Can you say amen? When the spiritual, that's not how we fight depression and anxiety and addiction. We don't throw wet blankets on it. We fight it with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We fight it with the fires of Pentecost. We fight it with a fire that only comes down from heaven. Amen. In the physical, We get so twisted and turned around because how many know that in the spiritual, God doesn't always want us to see it like we see it in the physical. And it becomes our nature. Amen, Brother Ken. When somebody offends us, we want to give them one of these. Huh? Or when we have a fire, we want to throw a wet blanket on it. And these things take a toll on our mindset. And these things cause us to think a certain way. But in the spiritual, it ain't always that way. God said, if somebody offends you, come on, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek to them. God said, love them, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you. The way we do it in the spiritual is not the way we do it in the physical. It's not the way we do it in the physical. And in the spiritual, we don't fight fires of hell with wet blankets and fire suppressants. We fight them with fire. We fight them with Holy Ghost fire. Amen. In the spiritual, that's not how God does it. You see, Jesus, he don't fight hell with a wet blanket. Huh? We don't fight sin with a wet blanket. Huh? That ain't how Jesus did it. He didn't fight hell with a fire extinguisher. No, sir. No, ma'am. He kicked open the gates of hell and he led captivity captive. And he did it through the preaching of the cross. And he did it through the power of the Spirit. And he did it with the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's how he did it. Amen. That's why he said it's not by power. He didn't fight hell with a water hose. In the natural, somebody say, oh, get some water. Get some water. Throw it on there. Let me tell you something. You don't want to throw water on sin. It'll just be a wet sin. You want to put fire to sin and you want to burn it up and you want to destroy sin. Amen. Jesus didn't fight hell with a water hose. That's why he said it's not by power and not by might, but by my Spirit saith the Lord. We got to be led by the Spirit of God today. We got to have the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us today. Can I tell you, church, it ain't enough today just to know your Bible. Huh? Come on. Many people read the Bible. Some people treat the Bible it is, of course, a literary work. Amen. But some people treat it only as a literary work. But the Bible is a literary work and a spiritual work. And it ain't just enough to know your Bible today. Can I get real with some apostolics today? Come on, can I get real with the church for just a few moments? Brother Joe, the truth is sound doctrine has put a lot of apostolics sound asleep today. You know why? Because they're living by doctrine and they don't got the Spirit of God. But the Bible tells us that it takes the letter and the Spirit to make alive today. Yeah, we got to have doctrines in our life. Yeah, we got to hold fast to the doctrines that we teach. But we got to have the Spirit of God alive in the church today. We got to have the Spirit of God alive in the church today. Sound doctrines put a lot of believers sound asleep. The letter is not enough, church. It's got to be kindled with the fire of the Spirit today. It's got to be kindled with the fire of the Spirit today. Amen. Listen to me today. Rome is still, this morning, Brother Joe was talking about some of these dominions in the Word of God. He was talking about Babylon. And as he was talking about Babylon, I was thinking about Rome. Babylon never thought they would come to an end. Rome never thought they would come to an end. And can I tell you, those spirits are still after the church today. They're still trying to subdue. They're still trying to overcome. They're still trying to deceive the church today. Rome is still after the church today. And let me tell you something. If we're gonna rob Rome, we gotta have a fire baptized church. And if we're gonna defeat communism, we gotta have a fire baptized church. And if we're gonna defeat depression, we gotta have a fire baptized church today. We need the fire in the church. Can I tell you, amen, if we're going to cripple communism today, if we're going to destroy delusion, how many know we're living in times of strong delusion? For Pete's sakes, We got children wanting to use litter boxes in schools. I think it's time for the church to stop playing games. Come on, somebody. We got children wanting to act like kitty cats. We got children all kinds of mixed up. We got people living all kinds of different agendas. And we're playing church. It's time for the church to get serious today. I come to tell you, it was a blazing bush that attracted Moses that day. And it's going to be a blazing church that's going to attract every sinner in this lost world today. It's time for the church to get serious. We got to be where the fire is at. Those agendas. Come on, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. Why? Because that spirit of homosexuality had consumed that place. And let me tell you something. The spirit of homosexuality has consumed this world that we're living in. We need the same kind of fire today. We need the same kind of move of God today. If we're going to see people delivered, if we're going to see people transformed, if we're going to see people act the way they were designed to act, we got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost in our services today. Somebody clap your hands and magnify the Lord. If you want fire in this church, we got to have fire. The church was born in the fire, and smoke ain't gonna do it. Smoke ain't gonna do it. We gotta have fire today. We need a fire baptized church to defeat Rome. Let me tell you something. Rome never thought they was coming in to an end. Babylon never thought they was coming to an end. Let me tell you something. And the people of Israel never thought that God was going to restore them the way that he did. But let me tell you something. When the fire fell from heaven on the day of Pentecost and the church was born in fire, something began to happen. Something began to take place. And I come to tell you, I don't care what you walk through those doors with. God is able to deliver you if you'll get serious about some fire of the Holy Ghost today. The only way you're ever going to defeat the hell fire is with Holy Ghost fire today. With Holy Ghost fire today. It's going to take a blazing church to attract the world. It's going to take a blazing church to keep people from going back to what they came out of. It's going to take the fires of Pentecost burning in our services. It's going to take us being serious with God today. Church, can I tell you, the mundane ain't going to move them. The mundane is not going to move them. The subtle is not going to stir them. The dead is not going to make them alive today. The church was born in fire, and smoke will not do. Smoke will not do. We need something that's hot enough to cause hell to let go, Brother Eric. Huh? We need something that's hot enough to cause hell to let go. We need something strong enough to break the chains of addiction. Come on, we need to see lives transformed. We don't need wet blankets. We don't need water hoses. We don't need fire suppressants. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in this house today. We need something lasting. We need something sustaining. We need something that's forever settled in heaven. And that's why Elijah wasn't going to compromise with what thus saith the Lord. If God says it's sin, guess what? It's sin. If God says blessings and cursings cannot proceed out of the same mouth, guess what? Blessings and cursings cannot proceed out of the same mouth. If God says you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it today. We got to get back to what thus saith the Lord. Because Elijah was not playing around. And can I tell this church today, we're living in the last days, as we heard in this morning session. And maybe if you wasn't here, maybe you should have been here, because you need to hear that the Lord's coming back soon. The Lord's coming back soon. And he ain't coming back with a church that's got some wet blankets in its hand. He ain't coming back with a church that's got a fire hose or a water hose or no wet blankets. He's coming back after a church that's been baptized with fire. He's coming back with a church that's ready to meet him in the air today. He's coming back for a church that's made itself ready. We don't need the things we think in the physical to put the fire out. We need the Holy Ghost fire to overcome the fires of hell. We need something that's forever settled in heaven. We need something that's not going to change with the times. We need something that's not going to change with the circumstance. We need something that's not going to change to meet and to meet every desire. Come on, God ain't interested in meeting all of our desires. God ain't interested in patty caking us. God ain't interested in making us comfortable. God's interested in getting us to heaven. God's interested in getting rid of sin out of our lives. God's interested in filling us with His Spirit today. We need something to get us through the tough times we was talking about this morning. Can I tell you, patty cake won't do it. Can I tell you, a little oatmeal and blueberries ain't going to do it. No, you're going to have the meat of God's word. You're going to have the Spirit to make it alive. You got to be baptized with fire today. We need something that's going to get us through some tough times. Can I tell this church today, love is kindled in a flame. Love is kindled in a flame. How many remember that first time you ever met that love of your life? Amen. And that one that you just grew to love like there was no other. Love is kindled in a flame, and strong desire is the life of that love. Can I tell you, Brother Ken mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. Once again, another bringing back to your remembrance about Sunday school, Brother Ken mentioned this morning that love is a choice. Come on, love is a choice, and strong desire is the lifeblood of love. You can stop loving somebody, anybody, anytime you choose to, because love is a choice. It's not something magical. It's not something mystical. It's not something that just overcomes you. It's something that you get up every day of your life, and you say, I'm going to love my wife just like I did yesterday. And it's something you get up every day, and you say, I'm going to serve my God just like I did yesterday, because my life, is born in my desire to serve Him. Strong desire is the lifeblood of that fire today. You got to have a strong desire to serve God, to live for God, to stay with God. We need something sustaining today. Come on, dead church didn't never save nobody. Huh? Come on, mundane worship didn't ever help nobody. Come on, love is kindled in a flame, and strong desire is the lifeblood of that flame. You got to choose to love something. You got to choose to love somebody. Flame is the air which true Christianity and the true Christian experience breathes. Come on, it feeds on fire. It can withstand anything. Withstand anything except for a feeble flame. How many know a feeble flame never burnt nothing up? A feeble flame. How many know, man, we say, oh, they're fizzling down. They're fizzling down. You know what happens? Brother Joe, we don't provide the fire with what it needs. We don't provide the fuel. Come on, I've been alive long enough to figure out that there's some things that fire's got to have to work. It's got to have oxygen, and it's got to have fuel. Come on, and let me tell you something. We got to kindle the fires of the Holy Ghost. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we go to church. That's why we get up and pray. That's why we fast like we should. That's why we do the things that God has commanded us to do, because we're fueling the fire. And the Lord said, don't ever let the fire go out. Don't ever let the fire go out. Love is kindled in a flame. And it can withstand anything. These Pentecostal fires that are burning in these last days, they can withstand anything except for a feeble flame. You let that fire go out and you're in trouble. You let down on those spiritual disciplines, my friend, you're in trouble. You stop going to church, my friend, you're in trouble. You stop seeking God like you used to, my friend, you're in trouble. You start running around with the wrong types of people, my friend, you're in trouble. You need fellowship with the body of Christ. You got to keep the fires burning, because that's how God fights the fires of hell. He fights fire with fire. We got to have something real enough to get us through the tough times. And let me tell you something, this desire to live for God, it can overcome anything except for a feeble flame. A feeble flame never destroyed anything. And when your surrounding atmosphere is frigid, and when your surrounding atmosphere is cool, and your surrounding atmosphere is dead, your fire is sure to go out. Your fire is sure to go out. That's why the Bible says, mark them that cause division among you. Huh? Why? Because you hang around with the dead, eventually you're going to be dead. You hang around with the lost, eventually you're going to be lost. If you act like the world, eventually you're going to be like the world is. You got to come out from amongst them, thus saith the Lord, and be ye separate today, saith the Lord. M. Bounds said that true prayer must be a flame. I believe it today. True prayer must be a flame. We need the fire burning in our prayer life today. True consecration must be a flame. We need the fire, church. Brother Doug preached a little bit about John the Baptist Tuesday night. Let me tell you something. In John's eyes was the light of God. In John's voice was the authority of God. In John's soul was the passion of God. Many would say, many would ask, who could be greater than John the Baptist? Jesus said that John, of all the prophets, there was none that was greater than John the Baptist. And yet, when we look at the life of John the Baptist, the Bible teaches us, Brother Jediah, that he never did one single miracle. He was the greatest of all the prophets. Elijah is out here raising up people from the dead. Elijah is out here calling down fire from heaven, consuming bands of 50. He's parting waters with the move of his hand. But yet the Bible says there was none greater than John the Baptist, and he never performed one single miracle. John never raised one person, Sister Lucinda, from the dead. But let me tell you what he did. He come crying as a voice of God, one in the wilderness, make ye straight the way of the Lord. And you know what John did? John didn't raise one dead person. John raised a dead nation by bringing them the word of God and creating the fires of Pentecost. And he told him, he said, there's one that's coming after me. He said, look, I am not the Messiah. I am not he. But there's one coming after me. I'm just preaching repentance of sins. I'm just preaching water baptism. But there's one that's coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he said, his shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. John didn't raise one dead person, but he did raise a dead nation by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, John was great. But as Brother Doug said Tuesday night, many times John would go off by himself in the wilderness. Many times John was alone. Can I tell you, great eagles fly alone. Can I tell you, great lions hunt alone. Come on, great children of God live for God alone sometimes if that's what they have to do. You ain't always going to have a big party all around you cheering you on, saying you're going to make it, you're going to make it, you're going to make it. Yeah, we need one another, but sometimes you got to get alone with Jesus. Sometimes you got to get alone with the Lord. Sometimes you got to get alone and say, Lord, you're all that matters to me. And if they all desert me, if they all go away, I'm still going to live for you. I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to let that fire burn in my soul. The word of the Lord was like a fire in my spirit, in my soul, and I couldn't get away from it. That's what Jeremiah said. Come on, John was great. Many times he was alone, but great eagles fly alone, great lions hunt alone, great souls can live and walk with God alone if they have to for a time. I tell this church today, loneliness is hard to endure and it's impossible to enjoy unless you're alone with God. Come on, just a few moments ago in this service, I told you, just close your eyes for a few moments, Sister Diane. Come on, just lift your hands towards heaven for a few moments, Sister Diane. Just get alone with the Lord for a few moments, Sister Diane. Let me tell you something. That's one thing to be alone. It's a whole nother thing to be alone with the Lord. Because when you're alone with the Lord, the fire begins to burn. The fire begins to burn. The fire begins to burn. And before you know it, it's defeating the fires of hell. We need fire in the church today. When you're alone with him, a fire begins to burn. Can I tell you that every notable event has been initiated by fire? Whether it was born out of passion, the fires of passion, whether it was born out of desire, the fires of desire, the zeal to accomplish and to succeed, the zeal to do something great, something has to burn in your soul. Something has to burn in your soul. That's why when you first come to God and you first feel conviction in your spirit, Brother Kyler, you first feel that drawing of God and you come and you pray and you ask God to forgive you. Man, when you get up of an altar of repentance, you just want to live for God. God lifts all your burdens out of your life. Everybody you meet, you just want to tell them how good Jesus is. Because there's a fire burning in there. There's a zeal in there. There's a desire to change the world in there. Every single great thing that has ever been accomplished was born in fire. It was born in fire. It was initiated by fire. And every life, whether it's the life of a preacher or the life of a prostitute, will end with fire. Judgment fire or hell fire. And I don't know about you, but when I stand before him on that great and terrible day, I want him to say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." I don't want him to say, "You got the fires of hell burning all over your life and you can't come where I'm at." I want him to say, "I saw you where you were at. I reached you where you were at. I sent fire where you were at and we destroyed the fires that was burning in your life." Because God fights fire with fire. Church, people go by the millions to hell because we have lost Holy Ghost fire. We have lost the unction to steer the lost. We have lost the desire to pull people out of the pits of hell. We have become comfortable sitting on a church seat. We're okay with people going to hell as long as we're going to heaven. And I come to tell you, these things should not be. These things should not be. We got to get fire burning in our soul again for the lost. We got to get fires burning to see people pulled out of addiction and people pulled out of this and people pulled out of that. And we got to let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts that it might glorify our Father who is in heaven. Church, when you're alone with him, fires begin to burn. But people are going to hell by the millions today because the church is losing its Holy Ghost fire. This generation of preachers, this generation of apostolics is responsible for this generation of sinners. God has called us to commission us to go reach them. That's why we started SOS in this church. It's why Brother Mike's meeting with the outreach team after service today. Why? Because we got to have a desire to see souls saved. We got to have a desire to see people pulled out of the clutches of Satan today. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear? How shall they know that hell is real except we invite them to church to come and live for God? Except we show them that living for God is the best life you could live. How? How shall they hear without a preacher? Moses could not mistake the sight of that burning bush. And when it comes to John the Baptist, a nation could not mistake the sight of a burning man. And when it comes to this lost world that we're living in, Brother Joe, the world will not mistake the sight of someone who is on fire for God. They will see you. They will see something different in you. They will see something bright about you that will draw them to you. We need the fire in the church. God fights fire with fire. After Pentecost, Peter wasn't playing around. Fresh off of his fiery baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room experience, Peter shook the crowd with the preaching of the gospel until finally they just begin to yell out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" We need to live a life so holy before this world that people see how good living for God is and they say, "Man, how do I get what you got? How do I get where you're at? How do I feel what you feel today?" Peter wasn't playing after the Lord baptized him with fire. He took it straight to a lost and dying world. And the church needs to do the same. The church needs to do the same. He didn't say, I'll just sign a church membership. He didn't even just say, I'll attend church regularly. He didn't just say, I'll just read your Bible. He didn't say, just pray. No, he said, repent and get baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And when you do, you're going to go down in that watery grave of baptism. And when you come up worshiping God, he's going to fill you with fire from heaven today. My God. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And he's going to baptize you with fire. Why? Because God fights fire with fire. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. God fights fire with fire. If I wanted wet blankets threw on me, I'd have started a denominational church. I want fire. I want fire. Fire is cleansing. Fire is purifying. Fire changes things. Fire cleanses things. Can I tell you today, nature's two greatest forces are fire and wind. Fire and wind. Recently, we experienced some really strong winds. We come home one day and a tree was laying down in our yard because wind ain't something to play with. Some two of nature's greatest forces are fire and wind. And let me tell you something, fire and wind were married on the day of Pentecost. Fire and wind were married. They were united. They were joined together on the day of Pentecost. Fire needs oxygen to burn. So you know what wind does? Wind causes fire to spread. So when the winds of the Holy Ghost begin to blow, the fire begins to spread throughout. When there's oxygen, things will burn. Where there's wind, fire will spread. Church, we need the fire to spread today. We need the fire to spread today. When the Holy Ghost fell in that upper room, it went out as something irresistible. It went out as something uncontrollable. It went out as something unstoppable. Can I tell you, there ain't nothing that can stop the fires of Pentecost today. There ain't nothing that can stop the fire of the Holy Ghost today. Went out of that upper room as something that was unpredictable. It blows where it listeth, the Bible says. That's why the ones that you think would never come, you invite them anyway, because they just might be the ones to come. Because the winds of Pentecost, the fires of Pentecost, the fires of revival, they blow wherever they want. And whoever they get a hold of, they're going to be transformed. Can I tell you, you got to want to live for God today. You got to want to be changed today. God, give us that kind of fire. Come on. It blows where it listed today. It burns up everything in its path today. God, give us that kind of fire. God, give us that kind of Pentecostal experience. God, give us that kind of revival today. Come on. We cannot have a cold church in a cold world. Cold church is not going to help a cold world. We need the fire today. We need the fire today. These altars are open as we get ready to sing this closing song. I wonder if you let the fires of Pentecost burn in your life today. I wonder if you're ready for true change today. Because there's a difference in just getting wet and getting consumed. And I don't know about you, but I want that consuming fire of the Holy Ghost to be in control of my life. I want the Lord to change me into something beautiful, something that brings Him honor and something that brings Him glory. That ain't going to happen without fire today. Would you come as we sing this closing song?